to wishing everyone Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov. So we're here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, right? So we went through the Mishnah, we went through the Gemara, and basically what we're trying to figure out, that's where we finished up last week, how do we know from the Megillah itself that you could add an extra 3 days? Because after all, in terms of what's explicit in the Megillah only mentions 2 days, Yudalit and Tesvav, and the Megillah tells us the story about the war, and they in the prozim, in the cities, they finished up on Yud Gimel, they rested on Yudalit, and Shushan, they pushed them for another day of war, and they rested on the 15th, correct? But there's no mention of Yudalit, Yudbeis, Yud Gimel. So the Gemara has now a machlokas, and the Gemara seems to make a big deal about this machlokas, to answer the question of Hecha Remiza. You remember those two words? Hecha Remiza. And we tried to push for the Hecha Remiza as give me some sort of indication in the beginning itself that there are extra days, so that we don't undermine the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Meaning, if the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had a mind just the 14th or the 15th, they must have given us some green light, some sort of a license to add another 2 days. So here we had two approaches as to how to derive from the Megillah itself that there are more days than what meets the eye, meaning that's explicit in the Megillah. So we started with Rav Shamman. We decided that there's a kometz under the shin and a kometz under the mem. That was our decision in the meantime. So his name is Rav Shamman. Okay, others have it as a segel under the shin, a segel under the shin, under the mez, right? That's what you told me, Eric, right? Shemen. Oh, who has the art scroll? Asher, you told me Shemen?
Shemen.
You also have Shemen, so we'll call him Rav Shemen. Okay, Shemen. That's interesting. What? Shemen. So interesting. That's an interesting name, Shemen. I assume his great ancestors were in the oil business. Anyway.
So his future's opened up to
very good. He invested in oil because the oil. Okay, so his name was Rav Shemen Bar Abba of Rav Yochanan, and he has this word Bismanehem. And the Gemara has a long analysis here of. Let's go over it actually inside once we have it. It's you see where the lines are still the thin lines, the skinny lines, and you count them from the end of the skinny lines. Let's see how many lines can we about 10 lines up. Omer Rav Shemen. The first word in the line is Remiza. You have that? So again, we did this already, but I want to just to get into this. So the Gemara says the following: Omer Rav Shemen Bar Abba Rav Yochanan. Omar Kro, Lekayim Es Yimei Apurim Ha'elu Bizmanehem. So the analysis here is that the Megillah uses this word Bizmanehem when it could have said Bizman, because Bizman in the singular would have indicated that that there's a Zman for the Prozim on the 14th and a Zman for the Krochim on the 15th. So why does the Torah go out of its way to use the plural? Zmanim harbe tikmu lahem. That there were many, many different days. So the Gemara says, okay, what do you mean many different days? Maybe it's just Yudalit and Tesvav. I mean, that would justify the plural of Zmanehem. Haimi boile legufe, we need it for itself, meaning for the prozim on the 14th and the mukafim on the 15th. In Cain, the Gemara says, lema krozman. For the 14th and the 15th, we don't need a plural. We would understand that the word Zman indicates two different days, the 14th and the 15th. My Zmanehem. Why do you need a plural Zmanehem? Zmanim tuva, that there are many days. So then why does the Gemara switch here and now it's of the opinion that even the word Zman itself would mean both Yudalit and Tesvav? So it's interesting because the previous pasuk mentions the 14th and the 15th, right? So I'll read the pasuk to you. He has the psukim written out. It says over here, Al Kena Yehudim Aprozim Ayoshim Viyod Ore Aprozos Osim Es Yom Arbaso L'Chodesh Adar And then it says Vesyom Chamisha Sorbo. And after that it says Lios Osim Shnei Yomim Ma'elu Kisovim Kismanom. So we already have explicitly in the Megillah, we have already these 2 days of the 14th and the 15th. And therefore the word Zman would have been relative, meaning respectively. Zman for the Prozim and Zman for the Krochim. For the Mukafim Chol. So why does Zmanehem? Zmanim Tuva. So the Gemara says, no, I'm not satisfied with that. Akati Miboyle, I need a plural. Why? Because if the Megillah would have gone out of its way to refer to 2 days with the singular of Zman, then I would think that it's one long Zman of 48 hours. What would be the significance of one long continuous Zman of 48 hours?
If you're Yerushalmi the outside of Yerushalmi, you'd have to listen to Kriyas Megillah outside of Yerushalmi.
Or even more than that, maybe Osho, we're giving you two options. In other words, if Zman is a unit that incorporates both the 14th and the 15th, then we're giving you two options. If you want to read the Megillah on the 14th, read on the 4th. If you want to read on the 15th, it's all one long purim. 2 days of Purim. Zman, it's one Zman, one Zman, one Cheft of Zman of 48 hours.
And then you would have to do it twice.
It's one Chiv Megillah, right? You only have to read it once.
It's like one Yom, it would be like Rosh Hashanah. One Yom. Rosh Hashanah is one Yom.
Right, but no, Rosh Hashanah, that has to do with Sfeikin the Yoma, which then becomes Yom HaRichter. But here, what we're saying is that Purim is a 48-hour. It's a 48-hour deal. It's a unit of Zman. So the Gemara says, why does the Tanakh use a plural? Zmano shel zeh, lo kizmano shel zeh. Meaning that if you're a parus, then you only have one option. You doubt. And if you're a mukaf choma, then you have only one option, and that's tesva. That's called lo kizmano, kizmano shel zeh, lo kizmano shel zeh. It means we're breaking up yudalit and tesva into two separate time entities, 2 days of Purim. By the way, on the side, just there's a whole issue about whether or not in Yerushalayim you say Tachnun on the 14th of Adar. So in other words, since the day of Purim for Yerushalayim as a Mukaf Chomim Moshe Shur Benun would be on the 15th, what is the status of the 14th? Does it have any status whatsoever? And actually, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch that the Krochim don't recite Tachnun on the 14th, and the Prozim don't recite Tachnun on the 15th, which sounds a little bit like, it's, for everybody, it's 2 days of Purim. But as far as Kriyas HaMegillah is concerned, and we'll see the other mitzvahs as we go along, that's called the Asiya, in two separate days. So now we need the plural. We need the plural. In Cain, says the Gemara, I still have room for Rav Shemin. Why? Lema Kra, the Karker said, Zmanam. It could have used the plural, but it would have said Zmanam. Zmanam would mean he has his man and he has his man. So he has the 14th and he has the 15th. My Zmanehem. Okay, so we're adding, I think, two extra letters. Am I right? Let me just calculate this. Zmanam. Yeah, we're adding the Yud Hey. Oh, that's God's name. Right? Maybe that has some mystical significance. I don't know. Shamat Minei Kulu. What's telling you that there are three different dinim here. There's one din called Zman, which means that Purim applies to both Yudalid and Tesfav. But if you only had the word Zman, you would think it's a 48-hour period of time, and you have two options. Then we have Zmanom, and that's telling you that you fit into a box, and your box is either the 14th or the 15th. And now we have Zmanayim to tell us that there are other days. And what are those other days? That's Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. Now, who says that just because Zmanim Tuva, that there are many days, therefore we come up with 3 days? Ema Zmanim Tuva. Maybe we should say the entire month. Okay, this is one interpretation of the Gemara, and that's the Ritva. The Ritva says maybe the entire month of Adar, remember we discussed this, the entire month of Adar is appropriate for Kriyas HaMegillah. Again, obviously, Eric, we're not talking about Purim, because you can't tell me that Purim starts on Rosh Chodesh Adar, but at least Kriyas HaMegillah is a separate theme, could be spread out over the entire month. So the answer is Manayim Dum Yod Zmano. Since Manayim is adding those two letters over to Zmano, then just like Zmano refers to Yudalit and Tesvav, Sach HaKol, 2 days, so to Zmanayim would refer to an extra 2 days. Mazmanom Tre, Avzmanayim Tre. Yeah, but that's not good enough, because we need what? We need 3. So the Gemara says, Hema Tresar, Utlesa, maybe it only means the 12th and the 13th. Kira Omer Av Shmuel, Bar Yitzchak. It's interesting. In the Havamin of the Gemara, we're going to add 2 days, and Yudalef is going to get dropped out. Now, I'm very baffled, I'm very perplexed, because if you drop Yudalef, what happens if Yudalef falls on a Sunday? Are we going to just leave out the whole Yom HaKnisa business? You know what I mean? Because if you can go back to Yom HaKnisa, then by definition you need Yudalef. Because there's a 3-day discrepancy now between Monday, between Thursday and Sunday. So I don't know exactly how to...
I'm not sure there's not that issue. They don't get to the point where they have to drop it. In other words, they address that before they even get to the where they have to address that. But they don't have to address it because they kind of include... They say, no, we don't have to worry about that because we have something else that does us.
Well, no, you're right, but I'm just, you know, the way I was trained, everyone has their own methodology. I was trained that when the Gemara asks a question, which is called a Havamin, we have to take that very seriously. So I'm just wondering, in the mechanics of it, if let's say the Havamin, the Machshon was here sitting with us today in the room in the Hailing Shtibla, and I would ask him, okay, you're going to choose 2 days, right? So you choose you Beis and Yud Gimel. Now who's going to read the Megillah on Yud Beis and Yud Gimel? Because the Prozim are reading it on Yud Dalet and the Krochim on Yud Tesvav. So obviously you're talking about the Kfarim. The Bnei HaKfarim. So you're trying to organize that the Bnei HaKfarim could start earlier because of the concept of Yom HaKnisa. If you do that, what happens in that particular scenario when Kfarim falls out? I mean, Yudal falls out on a Sunday. You've dropped Yudal from it. You're right, it's only happening. Most thank God it's going to reject it.
Maybe in that case you move forward. Maybe they haven't put in the limit on going forward. Yet, so maybe you move forward.
Ah, okay. So this happening, we don't know. The Lo Yavo. We don't have the Lo Yavo. So if we don't have a Lo Yavo, so then let him read on Monday on the 60th. No, wait.
No, the Yavo 15th.
Oh, let him read it. I'm sorry. It's on the Monday of the 15th. They'll read it.
But
the crumb. The only problem is, I'm just thinking technically, you know, logistically, how do they get... Because Rashi says that they didn't know how to read the Megillah.
They have to do it with Monday's Yom Kippur, so they go Yom to the president.
So that's interesting. Because they don't remember the crumb is reading the Megillah on the 15th. That's a lot of
Shabbat. I guess they do it for the...
Right, so the Ran, you should know the Ran's opinion, we never got a chance to discuss the Ran. The Ran's opinion is that in Okinami, one of the members of the Kfarim is going to read the Megillah. The Prozim could not read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa because there's no din of Yom Kippur, so he's allowed to buy a Kinnama.
If there was somebody from the Kfarim to bring it, then why would they
want to get the Kfarim into the city for various reasons, and they're not going to come in twice?
Actually, that's the question of why not move forward to the Tesvav, since it's, look, that's this Tesvav, you're not going past the 15th. So you're not filing Lo Yavo, you're actually on...
So again, this is a long discussion, but basically, Eric, what happens is that there really is one Kriya for all Jews, except for the Krochet, because of Shushan, and that's on the 14th. But you know what, let's hold on. Let me weave that into the Gemara as we go through here. So the Gemara says, "Ki the Omer of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Shlosha Sar Zman Ki Hilu Akol." We don't need a pasuk for the 13th, because once you're breaking new ground here, you're adding new days for the sake of the Bnei HaKfarim. Then certainly the 13th is a great candidate, it's a natural shoo-in for Kriya Samegillah. Why is the 13th of Adar shoo-in for Kriya Samegillah? That definitely is part of the extended definition of Purim, because that was Zman Kehila Lako. What is Zman Kehila? Not Zman Kehila, but Zman Kehila when they got together in order to pray before they went out to the Melchama. That's called Titus Esther. V'lotzach ribuyeh. You don't need any extra pasuk for that. So if you have a ribuyeh, then the ribuyeh should include your aleph and your beis. It's unbelievable how the Gemara is working so hard. One kasha after the other to come up with a, I call it a modus vivendi, you know, that everything should fit into place. So I find that very odd. You're comfortable with that? I think you're just adding oil to the fire.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's my question.
It's unbelievable.
They're trying to do it, and yet I know I'm looking at it. This is a question from Miguel. It says there. Right. So it's not like a pasuk from the Torah.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
We're trying to create the logic why the 14th or 15th is the day to.
And we can extend it to the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th.
Exactly.
And we're going to do somersaults in the air to try to come up with a reboot, some sort of addition of three more days.
Right. Well, if there's a halacha of learning from Tanakh, the rules for learning Shabbat. If there's a smachta, okay, that's fine. And then, okay, it's all smachta.
Right. But the rigorous rules of drasha that they should apply to Tanakh, and yet the Gemara is applying. It's a very interesting Gemara. Anyway, the Gemara asks now, the Amar Shitzar, the Shifzar, so can we go beyond the 15? And the Gemara says, V'lo Yavar. The Pasuk says, Kibu v'kibu ayudim aleim v'alzarim v'alkol anil v'maleim v'lo Yavar. Lios osim eshnei hayomim ha'ilu kitzovim v'kizmanom. Ksiv, that's what it says in the Megillah. And lo Yavar means he can't pass beyond the 15. You know, maybe it means, this is also in Kiddush HaChodesh, you find that the 15th day of the month is very important. You know, that's the shift between the beginning of the month for Kiddush HaKodesh and the second half of the month. Because we operate with a lunar calendar. So again, let's just go over. Eric, I just want to review. So what do we have here? We have Zmanein, and Zmanein is coming to tell me what? Zmanein Tuva. So what's Zmanein Tuva? Could be from the beginning of the month. No, it can't be from the beginning of the month, and it's got to be very close to Purim. Why? It's got to be Dubyo to Zman, or Zmanon. And Zmanon is 2 days, so we got to add 2 days. No, if we're only adding 2 days, how do you get 3 days? And the answer is because Yom Kihila, the 13th, is what? Is Zman Kihila Kol. Now I'll ask you a different question. And how do you know to add these days before Purim? Maybe add these days after Purim? The answer is below Yom.
In this case, it would seem like this would be an exception anyway, because the whole mitzvah is from
Tanakh.
Usually the mitzvahs are established.
No, that I agree with you, you know. But the only thing is to be so picky about the psukim and the letters.
But I guess you don't know the rules of the mitzvah. Shouldn't you learn from the source where the mitzvah is?
Right. Obviously, that's what the Gemara is saying. But why is the Gemara spending so much time? You know, it's amazing. Like, for example, maybe the Gemara could have said like this. It says my name. My name is Hecha Remiza. That's the answer to the question, Hecha Remiza, right? Now you want to work out the nitty-gritties. Well, let's talk to the B'nai HaKfarim. You know, they're coming in for the Yom HaKrisah. So let's see, do we need it out? Do you base and give it? That was the whole Mishnah with all the days and all the possibilities. No, we have to figure out they this and that. It's just amazing how the Gemara is analyzing the words of the Megillah with like a magnifying glass.
Maybe it's something about the Mishnah of Kriyas Megillah that's
about this. Well, it's definitely saying something about Mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah. So, if you give me a few minutes, I worked very hard on this. I have something to say.
If Mordechai wrote the Megillah, what did Mordechai mean when he wrote this?
Right.
you know, just like the analyzing, like an English text, you know, what did he mean with that, this word and that word?
Right.
What did he mean with this word? What was he referring to? Because he doesn't give dates. He doesn't know.
Right.
He's telling about an anniversary date. So,
so all this Rav Mosai is Hakof Aleph, that's called Rav Shamun Bar Abba. Now we go to Hakof Beis. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar, I have a different source for the extra days. What's my source? The Omar Kro, the Torah says, I'm going to read the whole Pasuk for you. That's what the Sifta does for you, gives you the whole Pasuk. So it says, L'kayim aleim lios osim es yom arba so l'chodesh ador ves yom chamisha sorbo b'chol shana fishana kayomim asher nachu bohem ha-yehudim ha-yveyem. It could have said yomim, the days that they rested. Why does it say kayomim? The extra kaf is kayomim l'rabos, to add two extra days, which is Achadas or Shneimos. Again, the same. Now we're going to go through the same Shakavatari again. The Ema Shitzar Veshivzar. Maybe we should go beyond, right? I'm sorry, I skipped something, did I not? Yeah, the Ema Treisar Utweisar. Maybe it means the 12th. Right, the 12th and the 13th. Fine. We don't need a ribui for the 13th. V'yema shitzar v'shivzar, maybe the 16th, the 17th, v'lo yavar k'siv. Okay, so now I would take a deep breath and I would say, okay, the Gemara is offering Rav Shaman as his drasha from Zmaneim, and Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni as his drasha from the word kayomim. And I, you know, put me through the ringer. You know, I feel already exhausted from this whole sugya. And at this point, that's enough. Genug shein, as we say in Yiddish. You know, let's close. Finito. No, that's not enough. We have to go even beyond this. We got to know, why is it that Rav Shaman couldn't accept the drush of Kayomim? And why is it that Rav Shul Bar Achmeni couldn't accept the drush of Zmanei?
It seems more problematic than the discussion. Why go to that? Why go there? The Megillah as a source of the halacha, not as problematic. But here, now this is really intriguing. I'm like, totally saying, if you're using this pasuk for this, why are you using this?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I both have something to say here that I sort of say for that I want to share with you. But first, let's go through this very tedious Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, my time alo Omar, me. Bizmanehem. Why couldn't he accept the drasha of Rav Shaman Bar Abba? And he says, "Zman zmanam zmanehem lo mashmale." In other words, I guess he means to say, if I understand correctly, that even within the context of Dibra Torah Kolosha B'nei Adam, in other words, the way that we normally, so this gets into the real nitty gritties of Hilchos Drashas. Meaning, it's not always enough to say, "Well, there's a couple extra letters in the pasuk." You know, If that's the style, if that's the way you communicate, so to speak, idiomatically, you know, you want to say zman in plural, so you say zmanehem, their times, meaning the times for the prazim, the times for the mukaf. So he doesn't think that you can justify this ribui, this drasha, by saying that we went from zmanam to zmanehem. But by the way, it's interesting. The Gemara mentions zman, zmanam, zmanehem, but the Mefarshim point out here, the commentaries say that even Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni accepts zman, zmanam, meaning the Hava, meaning the Gemara, that you can choose one of those 2 days because it's a unit of time of 48 hours. That we need zmanam for that. Zmanam shel zeh, lokin zmanam shel zeh. But zmanehem, that third niche, you know, the third level, that he doesn't have. Then the Gemara says the flip side for Rav Shemen Bar Abba, my time alo Omar, me kayomim. Why doesn't he darshan kayomim? Again, the Gemara doesn't analyze if you have kayomim, what are you going to do with zmanayim? Or if you have zmanayim, what do you do with kayomim? That the Gemara doesn't go to. Omelecha hahu lidoros hu desiv. According to Rav Shaman, the pasuk kayyomim is a very significant pasuk in its context, what I call pshuto shel mikra. Why? Because you could raise the following possibility. Those who experienced the miracle at the time of Achashverosh and Gzeirah, back at Shushan, they have to observe those days. But those who did not experience the miracle, you know, generations down the line, do they have to annually commemorate these 2 days of Yudalit and Tesvov as days of Simcha and Mishta? We don't know. And that's why the Megillah had to go out of its way with the pasuk. Let's read it again. L'kayim aleim lios osim. They should accept upon themselves. This is after receiving all the igros, you know, the letters that were sent out by Mordechai and Esther. L'kayim aleim lios osim is yom arbasa l'chodesh adov es yom chamisha saribo. And now we need the kayyomim. What is the kayyomim going to tell us? That just like in the days asher nachu b'hem ha'yehudim erevim, back at the time of the miracles, so too for all generations to come, they need to know that they're obligated to do so. And now you'll ask me, but it says b'chol shana b'shana, so b'chol shana b'shana l'chora means l'doros, no? B'chol shana b'shana only means for those who experience the great Yeshua, they have to commemorate these days year in and year out annually. But for those who weren't part of the great miracle, the generations to come, so I was there at the time of Achashverosh. I have to observe the day of Purim. But my children? Now again, what if my child was born already at the time of the Gzeira? I don't know, but let's say my grandchildren. You know, there are a lot of different nuances here in this Havamina. Can the Havamina is a Pel of a Havamina? The Gemara is raising the possibility that only those who experienced the miracle, meaning they were Bechlal the Gzeira, right, the Gemara is going to say later on that women are also obligated in Purim, even though it's a time-bound mitzvah. Why? Because they were included in the Gzeira. Right? Noshim anoshim betaf. In fact, there's a Yerushalmi that seems to assume that even the children have to hear the Megillah, because they were also part of the Gzeira. Even though we know that a child is not a Bar Chiyuva, but Megillah might be the exception. It goes so far as the Gemara wonders about a ger. Let's say a person today, a non-Jew, would convert to Judaism. Is he obligated in Purim? And the Gemara needs a special pasuk to prove that a ger is chayav. We'll see later on. A ger is chayav in Megillah. Why? Because he and his ancestors were not part of the Gzeira of Achashverosh. So there's a havamina here that the doros havoyim, the generations to come, are not obligated in the midst of Purim and to hear the Megillah. And if that be the case, I need the kayyam, even though it says b'chol shana b'shana. But b'chol shana b'shana, Salkadai Tehavamina would only refer to whom? To those who were there. So they have to commemorate this on an annual basis. But kayyomim asher nachu me'aveyem, the chaf adinyon, says Rav Shamon, is coming to teach me that for all generations, the obligation. Now here I ask a very technical question. How could it be that the people who experienced the miracle could accept, it says l'kayim aleihem, they accepted upon them. You remember the famous principle called kibul v'kibul. How is their kabbalah a committal, has generated a commitment from all generations to come? Like for example, Rashi in the Tzavim, you know, Rashi has had his debris. The pasuk says, Yesh Hasharatem, Yesh No Po, Yesh Hasharatem, Yesh No Po, and Rashi says that all the Neshavas were there at the time of the Brits, because otherwise how would my Kabbalah help for the next generations? They weren't there. So Rashi says, no, they were all there. Well, when they say Nasa Benishma, who was there to say Nasa Benishma at the time of Kabbalah and Torah? All the Neshavas, even the Gerim, Asinim was Gaia, Rashi says. So here too, I don't know, are we willing to say that L'kayim Aleihem is Yimei HaPurim means that all the future generations were there at the time? I mean, we never heard such a thing. So, don't make up your own midrash. My father's a Malachi, they used to call him Medrash Berzon. Sometimes he made up his own midrash. My father knew the Lashon of Medrash so well. He once gave a midrash. They used to have a seminar once a month at the rabbinical alumni of Yeshiva University. So one time Rav Salvech got stuck. I don't know what happened. So he was there. And at the end, he comes over to my father and says, that was a wonderful drasha I've ever heard. So my father told him that this midrash doesn't exist. Even the Rav didn't know. So I'm saying we can make up our own midrash that all future generations were there at the time of Kibul v'Kibul. But I don't think that midrash exists. So the Gemara says that we have to have, according to Rav Shaman, an extra word kaf, an extra letter kaf, chayyomim, to tell you doros haboyim. At this point, I was thinking that the Gemara would turn back to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani and say to Rav Shmuel, how do you know that a generation is thinking? And then the Gemara would say, well, he's going to draw two things from the kaf. I don't know. But anyway, Rav Bosa, I saw something in the sefer that I wanted to share with you. I don't know if you've ever heard of what's called the Mishnas Yaivitz. His name is Rav Bitzal Zsolti. He died about a decade ago, maybe 15 years ago. He was the chief rabbi of Mishalash, the Ashkenaz. He was a big one, very profound thinker.
So he wrote three volumes, if I'm not mistaken, called the Mishnas Yavetz. So in his Mishnas Yavetz, he has a long piece. Again, if we would learn twice a day and we had another hour, we would go through this piece. But we don't have that extra hour. So he says that the machlokes between Rav Shaman and Rav Shmuel is a very fundamental machlokes. It's not just about drushes and how do we learn the word Zmaneim and how to learn Kayom. And he bases himself on a Tosis on Daf Yud Tes on an Aleph. Again, I'm just going to give you the tip of the iceberg. And if you're curious, I could photocopy the article for you and you can go through it. But on Daf Yud Tes on an Aleph, you'll see a Tosis called Ben Kfar. You have that? Mm-hmm. The third Tosis on the page?
Yes.
So Tosus quotes Rashi. Now, what's going on over here? The Ben Kfar finds himself, listen carefully, in the big city, the villager came into the city, on 2 days, on the Yom HaKnisa, and he came back on Yudav. Like, let's imagine the following scenario. He shows up on Thursday, which was Yud Aleph Adar, Yom HaKnisa. He's bringing in all his produce to sell it, and so on. So he hears the Megillah. Then, for whatever reason, he comes back on Sunday, which is Yudalit Adar. So Rashi says he has to hear the Megillah a second time. And Tosus says, after quoting Rashi, Pirush Rashi, Apol Pisha Korak Far B'Yom HaKnis, V'Kasha, Tosus says. You see that word V'Kasha? Lama Yachso B'Yikra Shnei Pa'omen. But both say, what's bothering Tosus about Rashi? Excellent. How can you tell me that because he's there on Yudali? So Rav Zsolti wants to claim that the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos here is a fundamental machlokas about the nature of Yom HaKnisa, this whole deal of Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel. And he offers two definitions of how to understand Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel from the Bnei Akiva. One way is to say that this is the Zman of the Chiv. Their Chiv was established on, again, 11, 12, 30, respectively, depending upon when Yudal falls. The other way is to say, no, they're really Chayev together with the Prozna on the 14th. What Chazal did was they gave them Tashlum. This is the word he uses. He quotes the Gemara Chagiga. The Gemara says that if you didn't bring the Karban Chagiga Bismana on its time, you have what's called Hashlum. And he says, what's unique about this whole sugya, why the Gemara is working overtime to try to come up with a drasha? He says that the law of Tashlum only applies until we get to the second Megillah. That's going to be the exception. Only applies after the time has passed. You miss the date. Now we give you Tashlum and afterwards. We're Marshall in Tefillah, right? So let's say he didn't recite Mincha, so we'll give him Mayrek, right? He didn't recite Shakra, so we'll give an extra Tefillah for Mincha. But it always goes Lahava. It never goes Mili'el, you know. The Chiddush here of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel is that even though there's Man of Chiv, together with all of Chalitz, so again, with the exception of the Krochim, is on Yud Aleph, we're going to give them a possibility of Tashlum. If I can use my own English word, even then I'm using poetic license here, we give them a substitution. What do I mean by substitution? It's a fill-in. It's not really the Zman Achiv. The Zman Achiv, even for the Bnei HaKfarim, for the villagers, is on Yudal. The Chiddush of this figure is that we're going to give them an opportunity to be mashli, meaning to replace the cube of Zniker Zman Achiv before the Zman Achiv came. And again, this all fits into what we discussed in great length, that it's not Purim. Because when they go back to the villages, they're going to celebrate Purim, Mishloach Manos, and Mishnah, and Simcha on Yudal.
Based on that, I can see another of Dichle and Mate. Maybe you could put, and usually Dichle is, maybe you could put Dichle back, or you could do Mate, or you make it a Mate, or now that you're Mate, not to do Yudal, you do it on, you could do it the same. Machlokas maybe is Dichle and Mate.
So which way would Dichle be going forward, and Mate could even be before?
Before.
Right, so Mate, okay, excellent. So wait a minute, so Rabbi, listen carefully. So what does Rav Zsolti want to say? He wants to say the following. If Yud Aleph, let's say in the scenario that we mentioned where Purim, Yud Aleph fell out on Sunday. So Yud Aleph, if we define it as the Zman HaChir for the Bnei HaKfarim, then Tosis is right. How could you tell me that he should, if he happens to be in the city on the 14th, he should hear the Megillah a second time? Pabayim, we never heard that someone who was Yotzeis if he fulfilled his fear, was going to be obligated a second time. Masha Enkei, he says, it's Rav Zolta. If there's halacha tashlumin, tashlumin is always conditional. It's conditional on the fact that you weren't the kind of ikar on this. Now, my bud, my friend, you find yourself in the city on Sunday. Now you're in the ikar achiv. So you're going to tell me, but I already fulfilled my achiv name. You never fulfilled your achiv. You fulfilled your achiv b'toras tashlumin. And tashlumin is conditional on the fact that you don't have the possibility of fulfilling the ikar achiv. So if he would have stayed in his kfar on Sunday, stay home and raised his avocados, you know, then he never was nichlal. He was never included in the zman achiv because he remained in the kfar. So he took advantage of the law of tashlumin, and he was yotzei hisiv mitam tashlumin. But if now he finds himself in the city on the 14th, that's the scenario of Rashi. Rashi says he has to hear the Megillah again. What happens? Tosis is right. Pamayim, a second part. He's already outside the purview of the Chiyuv. The answer is name. He was only Mekayim B'Toras what? Tashlumin. Tashlumin is conditional. Now that you're in the Ikar Chiyuv, because you find yourself in the city and everybody's reading the Megillah, you have to join them for the Megillah. So what does Rashi hold? Why is Rashi saying that he has to read it a second time? Because it's B'Toras Tashlumin. Tesis, on the other hand, says, nay, you missed the boat. Once they establish these zmanim for the Bnei HaKfarim, then Yud Aleph becomes the Zman Achiyu. It's not Yudin Tashlumin. That's his Zman Achiyu. Despite the fact that it's not Purim, that's the paradox of it. But as far as this element, this dimension of the Megillah, he's chayv Megillah on Yud Aleph. If he's chayv Megillah on Le'af, he was Yotze Zionist. Again, if we had hours and hours, he goes on and on for pages. I just gave it to you.
If you're saying it's if you base it on Tashlumin, then that would suggest that why couldn't they, if Yud Aleph is on Yom Rishon, then why not go into Yom Kinesa on Yom Sheni? Is saying on the 15th. Why can't they go the next day on the 15th? If it's on Monday, Yom Kinesa, they go in on the 15th. And it's not Lo Yavor because the 15th is still the
15th. Right. So that's a different sugya. The Krachim for the 15th. Okay. We'll put that on the side.
Okay, because Tashlumin, like you said, goes after, so that would suggest
right,
that
would be okay. But Tashlumin could never go after the Ikar Zman Achiyuv. The premise of that whole discussion, which again has to be worked out, is that the Kfarim, like the Prozim, are Chayiv and Purim on the 14th. We have to accept that as like axiomatic. We'll put the Krachim into a separate, you know, the Lo Yavar of the Krachim, which means to exclude the 16th, is the Lo Yavar the 15th as far as the Bnei Ayoros is concerned. And the Bnei Kfarim fit into the category of Bnei Ayoros unless their Yom HaKnisa problem makes it such that they have to avail themselves of Yud Aleph basically.
So the second question is, if you hold us, then what if if you're from the farm and you miss the meeting, you know, for some reason you don't come in on Yud Aleph Yud Bet,
so you'd have to
miss your chance, or do you still?
No, then Tosfos would say, since you never fulfilled your chiyuv, we're going to now ask you again. I don't know if you have to show up in the city. That's your question. But let me ask a different question. Let's say you showed up in the city. In that case, Tosfos would say you become included in Yud Aleph. Meaning, remember we had a Havan meeting that everybody has two options, either Yud Aleph or Tosfos. So here's a case. If I woke you up in the middle of the night with a quiz question, tell me a case where Lamaskana, we have a choice of two things. So this would be the case of a Ben Kfar, because according to Tosfos, the Iker Chiyuv... No, just one second. Tosfos says the Iker Chiyuv is on Yud Aleph. Oh, so now, see, it's a little tricky because I don't want to say he has two options. I went a little bit too far.
You know, that's the question. What if somebody from the city is
no snakatita on the 14th. Can he go back? Can he do it on one of the earlier days when they're
far? Yeah, excellent question. Excellent. 1,001 questions are flooding my mind here. But what I do want to say.
Okay. Can we have just a seat here, please?
So what I'm suggesting is that there's a fallback position, of Yidal for the Bnei Akfar. I'm not gonna say it this way. I think I went too far. I said they have two options. But Hakim for sure, Shikas Akosis is leading. The Liga here.
לא שומע אותי.
חבר'ה, אתם צריכים גם את הכיסא הזאת?
לא.
אז השארתי שם. So you hear? So if you ask me when is the Iker Achim, according to the posters, the Iker Achim is on Yud Aleph, correct? So once he read it on Yud Aleph with Bnei Akfar, he doesn't have to read it on Yud Aleph, even if he shows up in the city. But what would be according to posters as a fallback position? The Hayah. That he didn't read it on the Yom HaKnesset. He couldn't find anyone to read the Megillah because everyone's busy buying his produce. So in that case, could he read it on Yudah? My gut reaction says absolutely.
If you say to feel of the same as the regular Yudah. So it's already established as a fear. We only pushed it off
the Tashlum.
Whatever way, Tashlum.
Okay, we'll call it.
Whatever you want. Okay, but to Yudah. So, but the essential Chiyuv is Yudah. So
exactly. That's
the essential Chiyuv.
So Rashi, the essential Chiyuv is what is on Yudah.
Right.
And therefore says Rashi, okay, you fulfilled the Yom HaKnis on Yudah. Now you've got you're in the city. If you're in the city, now you got to go back to square one for the Iker Achiyuv. And Tosis says no. How can you tell him to read the Megillah Pamayim? Because Tosis understands that he fulfilled the Iker Achiyuv. That's how Rav Bezalel Shelty learns it. Oh, now here's the punchline. Says Rav Shelty. That's this whole sugya that we're learning here. Why is the Gemara so painstaking? We're going back into whether it's Mizmaneyem or whether it's Kayom, whether it's Rav Shaman or whether it's Rav Shmuel Bar Nachi, some of the Chalmers. The issue here is our issue. How to understand it? And his premise is the following: that whenever there's a drasha with a chaf, what we call the chaf adinyon. Are you with me on this?
Yep.
Then it's not the real thing. It's an extension. And that's Hashem. If it says Zmanim Harve Tikulahem, then it means that becomes the Zmanachim. This whole sugya is working over time, not because they want to put us in the good bill, and because they want to make Berzon suffer so much. I spent hours trying to work through this. But because it's an afkumina l'halacha, and he claims that he has rayas that Rashi holds this way, and Tosfos holds that way, and the Rambam holds this, he has full pages on the Rambam sheet, that the Rambam paskins minim harvei tikkun. And the Rambam holds, by the way, a fascinating thing. Let's say I live in a city, and therefore I'm chayav in Megillah on the 14th, and I move. How would you say it in fancy English? How do you say that in fancy? She moved.
He relocated.
He relocates. Listen carefully. On the night of Pesach, the movers come and they pack out with all his furniture on the night of Pesach. Where is he on the night of Pesach? He's in Yerushalayim. He's in a crowd. The Rambam says he's not chayav. What do you mean you're not chayav tikkun? You live in a crowd. The answer is because the Rambam was smiling on every tikkun and chacham, and the Rambam accepts the point of Tosfos that lo chayav ain le chayav b'mayim. If he was yotzei on Yudalid, end of story. Benito, he was yotzei on Iker Achiyuv. That's what he wants to take, that Rashi will take a certain Mishalka. This game is like it's a bit more. Because Rashi holds that you can become a Ben Krach. And once you become a Ben Krach on the 15th, because you will do, you now have an Iker Chiyuv on the 15th. And now you have 2 days of Iker Chiyuv. So this is wild. I mean, again, I just give you the answer. But what so geschmack to me is that now at least we weren't just wasting our time here, you know, with acrobatics in the air.
Today, what happens to you?
I don't know. That I didn't get to. You can't embarrass me. You have to go through the beer halacha. The mishabur is like paper
wall. When
I was in yeshiva, I used to go to Kelsey's on the 14th. I was living in yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Yeshiva was in California. If you were from Toronto, you'd have heard of it. In those days, all the Torontonians came to learn the
Yerushalayim.
And I would go on the 14th to Kelsey. And then I would come back to Yerushalayim. I had 2 days in Purim. You know, one of the things that I'm very glad about that I made Aliyah is I no longer have a second Seder. Maror for me one night is enough. A lot of people, by the way, miss the second Seder. For me, I don't feel I miss it.
So far, I haven't missed the second
Seder. But 2 days of Purim, that I'll take.
What do you have to go out of Yerushalayim and go to Telstone and back? You've got to be careful on your side. Say to yourself all the
truth. Why? Because Chevron reads on 2 days? Oh, because it's suffering.
And go to Tveria.
Chevron, Tveria, where else? But one Yericho, if you're a gambler. No, I'm just kidding.
So Tzfat is also 2 days.
I think Tzfat is the last one.
Tveria, that's 2 days. You know, when I first moved to Arnold, that's where we lived. They used to do 2 days in Arnold.
Oh, really?
Because there was very little yeshiva, very few homes. And it wasn't what's called Sukkah. It might have been near it, but it's not Sukkah. Sukkah means you have to have, you know.
Right.
We'll get to that. I mean, I don't know if we'll get to it today. What time is it, Rebbe? Oh, okay, Rebbe. So we'll
I just have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What about reading at night? What have you been reading at night? This isn't seems to be just referring to day. I mean, they're not going to stay overnight the night before, are they?
Right. No, we're talking about someone. Let's say he shows up on the 14th of Adar at night.
Right, you know,
and he sleeps over until the morning.
Then they go to the market. They weren't going the night before, saying that they were going in the morning. They go in the morning and they do their thing. So maybe they go here.
You mean once in the
bed? Is this?
Well, the ego form is during the day. I mean, that again is a long discussion. I wrote an article on it.